Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you find yourself attracted to some people and not to others? Do you find it might be difficult to get on the same wavelength with some people and yet effortless with others? It's like you could sit down and just talk about anything and everything, and other people, the minute that you walk up to them, you open your mouth, you engage in a conversation, something inside your brain goes, can I get out of here right now? This is not working. Have you ever thought that you've met Mr. or Ms. Right only to find out that their first name was Always? Well, that's what I'm going to be talking about today, but I'm going to be talking about all of those things from the perspective of personality. I want to thank you for joining me today. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and I'm going to welcome you to the wonderful world of personality that we're going to be talking about who we are and how who we are, and our neurology really determines how we think, what we say, how we act, what we do, and really delving deeper into what makes us tick. What I always say is that personality is something that's in your genes. And what that means is, from a neurological aspect, you are literally born with a neurology that determines how you're going to work with information. And that's really what the brain's main job is to just work with information. So your personality comes in and it determines how you gather information, how you process information, how you make decisions. And what all my research shows around personality, and I've been so involved in the field for 28 years, absolutely love it. I mean, it's kind of hand in hand with my medical intuition aspect of me. But what I find is that in once we understand our personality, it's like it gives us permission to be who we are. And it's like we just fall in love with ourselves, and the things that we, you know, weren't sure about start to come to the surface as far as our strengths and our natural talents and all the gifts that we have that are tied to our personality. And then once we know that about ourselves, then it's easier to look at the personalities of other people. And we can use it to determine whether someone is compatible with us from a personality standpoint and building a relationship, how we're going to be able to interact with someone. Is it going to be something that's going to be smooth and effortless, or is it something that's going to feel like, oh my gosh, what the heck are we doing? And what I'm going to also be doing, besides talking about personality, which I of course love, is I'm going to be taking your calls, and I can answer questions about personality. If you don't know your color, you can go on to either one of my websites, Reitberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com, or whatcolorisyourpersonality.com, all one long word, .com, brand new site that we've just launched in the last couple weeks. There's a mini assessment on both of those sites. It won't give you a real detailed description about your personality color, but what it'll do is it'll start the process of you getting to know yourself and why you do the things you do. And so again, it's on both of my websites, Reitberger.com and whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. So if you have a question for me about your personality and you're aware of your personality color, we can certainly go there. If you got questions for me about your health, I would love to share my medical intuitive skills with you. So you can call me at 877-230-3062. Or we've got a second number now that we even can have international callers calling and get through. It's 425-644-5620. So all of those numbers are good in the U.S., Canada, and international. So again, if you have a question, just call me and we'll just get you on the line and see what we can do to answer those questions. Also, I want to announce that my book, What Colors Your Personality, is now 11 years old, and it's just been re-released in a beautiful four-color paperback. And what I'd encourage you to do is, if you don't have that book, that you might want to go on to Amazon.com or HayHouse.com and order it. It's a lovely little book. It makes a great gift. It doesn't have a lot about my medical intuition, but it's just rich with information about personality, why we do what we do, detailed descriptions, and then also it has some connection of personality and health. So again, it's just a great book, and it's just been re-released in the last couple weeks. Very excited about it. It's been a mainstay of part of the Hay House book environment. And in fact, it's been the number one selling book in health and health spas internationally for the last 5 years. So very, very exciting about that also. I also have other books that's based on personality, your health, love, what's personality got to do with it, managing people, what's personality got to do with it. And all of those books have an assessment that's a detailed one that literally is 60 statements. It talks to your brain. No matter who you are at home or at work, it doesn't make any difference. Your brain goes in and goes, I can relate to that, or I can't relate to that. So again, all of the books have a full assessment and then a very detailed description of each color. What is the value of knowing your personality color? Well, it's going to help determine all of the things about you, why you communicate the way you do, the words that you use, the tasks that you're going to be drawn to, the other tasks that you're going to procrastinate around all of the time, people you're attracted to. So when you think of personality, think of it as kind of that organizing principle that really influences and impacts every single part of your life. And it isn't just about the learned behavior. Usually when we hear people talk about personality, we're really talking about that learned part of it, that part of it we can change. And in that part, you know, we just kind of go through the motions and we really don't understand why we seem to shift in our personality and kind of change all the time. But the part of personality that I work with my research really goes in and understands how that brain is hardwired. You're born with it. You process it. You use it your entire life, especially when you're stressed. No matter how whole brain you try to become, how expansive in your consciousness, the minute you get stressed, you're going to go back to your set neurology. Somebody asked me, Carol, why would we have a personality like that that really isn't that adaptable? And there's no way that I can scientifically prove it, as that researcher in me would love to be able to do. I truly believe that you choose what I call your traits, that core part of your personality that determines how you gather information, process, and make decisions. I believe that you choose that personality neurology because it will give you the best advantage. You're more neurologically equipped to be able to bring your soul's expression into the physical world. I'm asked all the time also, you know, is my personality going to be the same as my parents? No, by all means, it is not. In fact, I have an orange daughter. I have a red son-in-law. I have a green granddaughter and a yellow granddaughter. And I keep telling my beautiful orange daughter, you're just blessed with this rainbow. But of course, in her personality, when she has to deal with the others, she doesn't always see it that way. So our parents' neurology doesn't really have anything to do with our personality traits and what we're actually born with. So when you think of personality the way most people do, you're thinking about that outer personification that we send to other people, that we've been really conditioned in how we should interact with people. But it really isn't always the true part of who we are, and in most cases is not. We'll say that someone has a great personality. Well, all personalities are absolutely great. It just depends on whether their personality is like yours or its opposite. When someone is like you and they think like you and they talk like you and they have the same interests, they have a great personality. But when you talk to someone who is different than you, that sees the world literally differently, situations differently, makes decisions differently, then what you're going to do is it's easy for your brain to classify as, oh, well, they're not compatible, or we can't get along with them, or in many cases, we'll just plain want to avoid them. It's kind of like this little voice of your personality comes in and goes, pull out quick. You don't want to be there. They don't understand what you're saying. And but we go into our conditioning. It's like it says, well, that's not nice to say. Now, come on, you stay there and you try to work this thing out. Well, you can work it out with personality if you really realize that people do, by color, come in and see color of personality, see things differently. It isn't that they're trying to make your life miserable. They just literally see it differently. I use color to describe my personality types. The reason that I do that is I'm Jungian trained. I cut my teeth on the Myers-Briggs, for all of you listeners who are familiar with that. I've been involved in many, many different assessments. My research around the validity of my assessment involved a statistical comparison with 5 different major, meaning that they're the most used personality assessments. And what I found is all of them have tremendous information. They're all helpful. But the truth of the matter is, after 30 days, it's hard to remember who you are. So I teach it by color, red, orange, yellow, green. It's a lot easier to say to a red, wow, you know, you're really being red today, instead of saying to them, you're a control freak. Now, if they're a control freak, meaning they're a red that needs to control their environment and people, they think you've just paid them a compliment. But if your personality is a green who really doesn't like conflict and doesn't like to say things to people that may hurt their feelings, you're going to feel terrible in the process. So that red gives you a way to be able to actually interact with them. The one thing to remember about personality is that it's going to immediately go in and discern whether someone is like us or they're not. And in that process, you'll get a feeling of a stress, almost a fight or flight, if they're not like you. It literally, we talk about the fact you meet someone and there's a chemical reaction. That reaction isn't always positive. But the truth of the matter is, there is literally a chemical reaction that happens, neurology, when you meet someone who is different than you are. So when you start looking deeper into the personality and you understand what really makes them tick, then it makes it easier for you to be able to interact with them, both from a positive standpoint, meaning a productive interaction, and then also realizing you don't have to give up your personality or your own needs or your own desires in order to be able to create the kind of relationship that you're looking for. There are two aspects to personality. One is traits and characteristics. Traits are the part that basically come in and they're hardwired. That's the way I keep saying it, because it is part of that neurological wiring. What they do is traits establish your value system, and they act as the prime directive that influences how you live your life, and they actually can determine the direction that you're going to take in your life. Again, I believe that your personality neurology is so intimately connected to your soul's purpose that anytime you're out of alignment with your soul's purpose, you're out of alignment with your personality neurology, then what's going to happen is you're going to have the stress enter into your body, and that's going to cause you to go in, take a deep breath, and go, whoa, what just happened? Is this where I want to be? Am I thinking clearly? Am I confused? And it gives you a chance to take a pause and figure out where you are. It determines the words you use. It drives what motivates you. And most important, it drives what irritates you. It determines whether you're predominantly left hemisphere or predominantly right hemisphere in your decision making. What does that mean? Do you make decisions based on logic? Here's the facts. This is the way it's always been done. And if it still is falling within those parameters, voila, it's a very straightforward decision. Or do you make decisions based on emotion? And on the emotional part is, that decision has to feel right. And if it doesn't feel right, and you press yourself to make that decision, the minute that you make it, something inside's going to go, take it back, that's not the decision you want, it doesn't feel right. But so often people who make decisions by emotional judgment, feeling right, don't want to create any conflict. They don't want any problems. It's just easier to kind of go along with the program than it is to say to someone, you know, that doesn't feel right. I can't make that decision right now. Or it's going to take me some time. I have to figure out whether this is something that I really want to do because it feels right or it doesn't. And unfortunately, from the standpoint of personality in my statistical work, we are predominantly driven by logic decision making, whether that's truly our decision making or what we've been conditioned to do. And as a result, we don't really place a lot of value on that emotional judgment part. Now, when I say emotional judgment, that's not just female. There are personality colors, for example, the orange and the green. They make decisions based on emotion, no matter whether they're male or female. And what that means is it's got, again, to feel right. And if they make it and it doesn't feel right, now we have compromise. I find, as a medical intuitive, what occurs in the body is literally a reflection of how much we compromise our personality. And if there's any motivator for you to learn more about you, I hope that that's it, because what it will do is, by understanding your personality, you will have free will to make a choice when you choose to compromise who you are, or to move outside of your color and not come in and have someone else telling you who you should be, how you should act, and what you should do. That is a tremendous process and opportunity that you have. Characteristics, I should go back. Traits are something that you neurologically cannot change. They're part of your brain. They're part of the functioning. The only way I know that you can change those traits is to do a lobotomy, and that's not exactly what we would like to do. Characteristics, on the other hand, really reflect what you've been conditioned and what you've been taught. They're learned behavior. You can change this behavior. While the mind seems to want to hang on to anything that's familiar, one of the things that we've learned over the course of studying neurology and change and how the brain accepts change is that it requires a consistent process of change, meaning that if every day you move toward the change of a habit or a behavior that you have that no longer is serving you well or compromises you, then for 30 days, every day, do something to change that. And about day 28, this magic thing happens. It's like all of a sudden that behavior or that thought is gone. That is part of the healing process. Characteristics are responsible for causing you to do things for other people's reasons and not your own. We have to do that, but at least know that you're doing it. And then as a result, you're in control and there's no stress. I mean, we all get guilted into things. And if that's what motivates you and it's important to you to be able to do that for people, then so be it. But if you do it where other people drive you to do it and you're not aware of it, then it can cause the chemistry changes in the body. It drives you to stay into situations, relationships, jobs, and even lifestyles that are limiting and, again, compromise you. It suppresses your individuality and your uniqueness. It prevents you from marching to your own drummer, taking risks, and find yourself coming in and really falling in love with yourself all over again. So that's where I want to start with personality, where I want to take it and get going on it. You can think about it. Excuse me. And then what you can do is continue in the next segment. I'm going to be talking about more about personality and how it affects relationships. But at least it's a good place to start. It gets that old brain working. Are you red, orange, yellow, or green? Okay, let me jump right in now. I'd like to be able to take some calls. Let's start with Jill from California, line one. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for calling me today.
Thank you for taking my call, and I'm so glad that I got through, because tomorrow I have a I do have your books, and I will first of all attest to their greatness. I also have your CD where you explained your gift and how you acquired it, and that I found fascinating. So that's, I highly recommend that. But your books are fun and entertaining, and I tell you, it's been a while since I've taken the test. I have to go back and take it again, because I don't know that I'm the same color I was a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, but what color did you come up?
Kind of a red.
Yeah. And you know that red part of you can move out of that red, and what it can do is the neurology could still stay there, but as we age or mellow or we just get to know ourselves, then we start exploring other parts. Then you might become an orange. Then you might become a yellow. It's a very fun time to do things. So anyway, so you're going tomorrow to what, hon?
To an OBGYN. I'm 43 years old, and I have a bad case of chronic anemia, and I just obviously am tired all the time. I feel like my hormones are out of whack, and I just kind of wanted you to look at all those female parts and let me know if there's something I should indicate to the doctor to have her test my blood, or I'm on bioidentical hormones, progesterone and estrogen right now, but I just wanted to get your input so I could pass it on to the doctor so we could have a productive session.
Productive time that you have with them,
exactly,
huh?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so absolutely, the fact that it is that you're on bioidentical hormones is very helpful for you. When I touch you energetically, you actually feel like you're much further into the perimenopausal cycle than someone of 43 years old would be. As a result, the bioidenticals are going to be helping you with that to be able to keep your body vital, and it will prepare you as you continue on into the perimenopause and you get into the menopause. It will prepare you to be able to smoothly transition into that. How you feel to me energetically is that you feel that you're probably about 3 or 4 months away from actually falling into menopause. And that's something you might want to talk to the doctor about. Your blood work would be very worthwhile to get. You want to have them check for several things. One is you want them to check for your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone to see where your levels are. It'll give you a benchmark to be able to know whether your bioidenticals are working, what needs to be changed within the bioidentical aspect of it. Also, what it'll do is it will come in and it will help you also understand where you are from the anemia standpoint. I would have them, they'll look for red blood count and white blood count. My sense is that the anemia that you're experiencing, and especially with the hormone changes that you're going through, are tied to the fact that you have the anemias, that anemia is actually attached to the menses cycles that you've been experiencing for the last maybe 8 or 9 years.
I haven't had a period in about 5.
Yeah, well, your body is still doing it. Your body is still trying to produce it. It's still trying to be able to, produce the hormones that are needed. But it seems like what has occurred is that it's been this kind of irregularity or this lack of, I'll say it that way since you shared it that way, is that what it's doing is your body is still cycling. It's just not going through the bleeding process itself. And as a result, it could be part of the fatigue that's there. When I touch you, when I go back into your early 20s, your cycle felt like the bleeding was heavy. It was erratic. And at that point in time, I can pick up these first indicators of this potential for anemia at that time. When I go in also, part of the fatigue that I'm picking up feels like it's tied to the thyroid. And while you still are within the range, you could have your doctor check it. They don't do it as often as they used to. You'll still be within the range. So if the doctor comes back and says, well, the thyroid was normal, what I would encourage you to do is ask them where in the range is normal. It feels like you're about ready to fall off the scale itself. So that can have a lot to do with the fatigue. It can affect your sleep. It can also affect the way that your body is metabolizing calcium and the way that it's just the overall metabolism. When I go in and I touch that thyroid, it isn't uncommon for women in this changing of the cycles for our thyroid to bounce around. That doesn't mean that we have a thyroid problem. It just means that it's bouncing around. The thyroid, if you can think of the thyroid hormone as mirroring the estrogen hormone in the body, and when we're young and we have estrogen and the vitality associated with it, then in most cases our thyroid will stay the same way. So you might want to look at that also. The other thing is, when was the last time, I'm going to have to kind of get a little personal on air, I'll try to do this very tactfully. When was the last time that you went in and you had a pap smear, sweetie?
1 year ago.
Okay, good. Did the doctor talk to you at all about a fibroid?
No.
Okay. It's nothing to be concerned about, but my sense is that there's a fibroid in there. And what does that have to do with the anemia? It doesn't have anything to do with it, but it's something that may cause you to experience some uncomfortableness in that area. Have you been noticing that at all?
No, not really.
Okay, let's see if I can do it this way. It's not big, but it's there. And my sense is that when you're on the bioidenticals and you're reestablishing the hormones in the body, this cyst feels like it's an estrogen-dominant cyst. And as you're trying to get your body hormonally balanced, then what will occur is you may find that you'll have maybe some discomfort or sensations of like you're trying to menses, or there may be some physical sensations in a mild form of pressure or cramping or anything like that. If you feel that, the reason that I'm bringing it up is that it's nothing to be concerned about. It's just that when you're still trying to menses, this cyst this fibroid cyst is basically, it fills up with a fluid and then it dissipates as you go through when you add the progesterone. So that's just the pickup. Nothing to be concerned about other than the fact you may get sensations and it may cause you to worry about it. And I certainly wouldn't do that. So that's something you could talk to the doctor about. And if the doctor wants to know whether it is, they'll do an ultrasound. Otherwise, it's like, well, no, there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. Fibroid cyst in females, when we start into the perimenopause, we get into menopause. A lot of times if we have a predisposition for fibroids in the uterus itself, then they will shrink and go away. When we go on bioidenticals, it's sometimes helpful to know whether we've had cyst. So if we have any kind of feelings of sensations or discomfort, then we don't become alarmed by what we're feeling. That's the only thing I'm picking up.
What I talked to you months and months ago, and you said that next time I go to the doctor, have them check my DHEA and melatonin levels.
Yes, yes, and that was that's also around your sleep. It's around your circadian clock, and it's something that did you have it done for your bioidenticals?
No, because this is the first time I've had the chance to go to the doctor since we've talked, and it's been about 6 to 8 months since I talked to you last.
Yeah. Now, you feel your melatonin, your sleep cycle feels better to me. And I mean, excuse me for not being able to remember, but I'm going to go back and use you as a surrogate. And I'm going to say, okay, go take me back 6 months. You actually feel like your circadian clock is stabilizing. It may be the bioidentical hormones. It may be the lack of stress that your stress level is different now than it was then. So there is a change in that area. When you go to the doctor, and you're talking about being on bioidenticals, ask them if there's possible when you do the blood work around your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone to see if it's possible to do a DHEA melatonin, because those are very intimately tied to thyroid and tied to how the bioidenticals are going to be able to function and work in the body.
Okay.
So sounds good. And again, the fibroid itself is nothing to worry about. I just don't want you to worry. That's the main thing.
Oh, I don't generally worry about things like
yeah.
that. I've
yeah.
had too
good.
Much going on.
I know. Good for you. Good for you. All right. Well, thanks very much for calling me, Jill. I sure do appreciate it.
Thank you for all your help. I appreciate it. And for your books. I have both of them. I have two color books and, like I said, that CD is just fabulous. So put that out there for your listeners because I highly recommend it.
Well, thank you very, very much. You have a wonderful day. You're my pleasure. If you please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back to talk more about personality and the important role it plays in your life. And we're going to talk more about health, and I'm going to take more calls. So please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, Hello, and thanks for joining me again today. I'm talking about personality and how it actually affects so much of your life and what you can do to be able to understand your personality more. I invited you in the first segment to go on my website, ritberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com, or whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. There's a mini assessment on there. It'll get you started. It'll prick kind of that curiosity inside you to know more about who you are, and it will be able to offer a brief insight into your color. And if you want more information, then of course you can purchase my books, What Colors Your Personality, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It, Your Personality, Your Health, and Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do With It. All are available through Hay House or Amazon.com. I'm also taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about personality or about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. And then we have a second number for Canadians and international callers and even people in the U.S. It's 425-644-5620. Before I talk about personality, I'd like to announce that I have two events that are coming up in July. I'd like to invite you to them. On July 23rd, I'm going to be offering a Your Health teleclass from 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. The topic of this month's teleclass, I have them every month, is thyroid disorders. What I'm going to be doing is sharing how, as a medical intuitive, I see thyroid disorders from an energetic standpoint. And I also always go in and talk about how personality is connected to certain illnesses and what illness personalities are most susceptible to the disorder illness I'm talking about. And then also ideas on how you can be able to deal with thyroid disorders from the standpoint of using holistic modalities or alternative therapies. You can register online for the teleclass at ritberger.com. And then on the 28th, I'm going to be offering a two-hour online seminar sponsored by Hay House. The topic of this seminar is reinventing yourself in changing times. I'm going to be talking about change from the anatomy of change, the four steps that are necessary to reinvent yourself, and how your personality can help you find that reinventing genie within your genes to be able to create the life and the health that you desire. The online seminar starts at 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. You can register for that particular event on hayhouseradio.com. Okay, so why do I use color to describe personality? I use color because it's a non-threatening way for us to see ourselves and to see others. When I go in and looking at color, and I found in doing my research, each personality color has basic needs, we have basic motivations, we have basic irritations, and no matter how much we grow and change, what is going to occur is that we will find we will always go back to that personality color that we're neurologically hardwired. So what are the basic needs of the red personality? To be in control, whether that control is of people or their environment. Reds need to belong and serve. They're very traditional, very conservative, and very conventional in the way they live their life, and they want to be of service to other people, and they want to feel like they're a part of a family. Family is very important to a red, and taking care of their family is even more important to a red. For the red, they want to have their needs met above all of the people in their life. Now, when another personality color, such as a green, hears that, they go, yuck, you mean that they aren't willing to, you know, put other people's needs before their own? No. When I ask a red, my red and my research reds to define love, they said conditional. And I said, what do you mean? They said, I will give other people what they need if they give me what they need first. It's just the way the red looks at the world in the neurology. The reds always want to be in a position of importance and to have status and power. So the basic needs of the orange, they need to have a strong support system, to have a conflict-free environment, to feel financially secure, very important. If the orange doesn't feel financially secure, then they worry. Oh my goodness, they worry about anything and everything. They need to have the freedom to express their emotions. What irritates the orange the most is to be engaged in a conversation where it's open, where they can express their emotions. They start into the process of how they feel. and then someone cuts them off, ignores them, or doesn't place any value on what they're saying. The basic needs of the yellow are freedom, independence, and autonomy. They want to solve problems. They live to solve problems. You may not even know you have a problem until you meet a yellow, and oh my gosh, then you have a problem that they're going to try to help you solve. They're what I call preventative problem solvers. The yellow personality wants to solve the problem not only that's in front of you or them at the time, but also so that problem won't resurface in the future. Some of their other needs are intellectual challenges. They love to think. They're deep thinkers. They like to be viewed as competent and having expertise. They spend a lot of time gathering information about everything that has that is of interest to them so they can share their wealth of knowledge with you. The basic greens of the personality, change. They love change. They'll change anything and everything all at one time. They don't have to wait for a special occasion or that proverbial 2x4 alongside the head that says, okay, it's time to change. The green just loves to change. They need the freedom to march to their own drummer. They need creative expression. Greens love to create ideas. Whether they do anything with them or not isn't important. They just have pure joy from being able to just create ideas. If a green will say, listen, if you like that idea, here, I'm going to give it to you. You do something with it. Then they go on to creating more ideas. They enjoy life and they love people. So as you hear those descriptions about the basic needs, you might be able to start to see what your personality color is. And then also in understanding those basic needs around each of the colors, if you're a green, it may be difficult for you to be able to understand the needs of the red, or if you're a yellow, to understand the needs of the orange. So again, it's not only learning about ourselves, it's learning about other people. The benefit of that is that we can meet people on the level they are, meaning their neurology. We can speak their neurology. And then what that does is it reduces the stress in our relationships. That is probably, I hope, when I do this work around personality, my number one desire in sharing the information is how can we reduce the stress in interacting with people who are not like us, because it's that stress that creates compromise. If that compromise is continued over a long period of time, it changes the chemistry of the body, and it literally is a predisposition for illness. So there's where my medical intuitive comes in and really goes in and looks at personality as it's tied to health. And my book, Your Personality, Your Health, really tells my story, as the listener said from the last segment. It tells my story about the near-death experience that literally changed my world from being a scientist and a researcher and working in the field of personality to becoming a medical intuitive. And then it links chakras and energy and personality and illnesses together. So the name of that book is What Color? Oops, I'm sorry. It's Your Personality, Your Health. I've got What Color is Your Personality on my mind. Okay, let's jump in. Marco from California, line two. Hi, how can I help you?
Oh, hi, Carol. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure. What part of California are you from?
Southern California.
Very good. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
So, questions, please, sweetie.
I wanted to find out if I could ask a question for myself and my boyfriend.
Okay. For your boyfriend, I'll use you as a surrogate. What that means is I'll go as far into the the description that I can, and okay, if I can't go any further, I'll have to stop.
Oh, okay.
So that's the way it'll work.
Okay.
Okay. So let's see. Let's start with you.
Okay. I got in a car accident and I have back pain, and I wanted to see if you see any abnormalities or what's going on, basically.
Yeah. What have you done? Have you done any physical therapy?
Well, I've been under chiropractic care and electrical stimulation, and then he uses these little machines, but I'm switching to physical therapy.
Okay, good. That's a good place to start. The other one is you'll want to find someone that does myofascial release. And what the myofascial will do is it will release the tension in the muscles, but it will also remove some of the fear that's being held in those muscles that are keeping those muscles holding that spine just as tight as can be, because it's afraid the spine's going to get hurt. So yeah, the myofascial will give you, again, some physical relief, but it will also go in and do some of the emotional release of the fear and the tension and anxiety, of course, that happens in an accident. when I go into the spine, starting at the neck, when I go into the cervical spine, let's see, it looks like 4 and 5. 3 cervical spine vertebrae, 3, 4, and 5. 3 not as much as 4 and 5. Where I'm finding is I've got some whiplash that's there. I've got some process. You got jarred very strongly in that particular area. And what it did is what the chiropractor's doing is trying to remove the tension in the shoulder blade and the shoulder area to be able to get those ligaments from pulling on the spine the way that it needs to. And that will take a little bit of time. I don't find any real what I would call trauma to that area. It feels like it's more of a muscular issue than anything else. It's like your neck became hyperextended, and then it just came back and tried to set itself back into your spine the way that it need to, and it's just injured. That's the main thing. When I go further down into the back, where I find that I'm getting the most inflammation, and it looks like a big red basketball that you're carrying on your back is in your lumbar part of your back, and it's in that little bit above the curve that you have in your back, and then it goes all the way down to the tailbone. There's like a big red ball of energy of inflammation that is in that area. Is your chiropractor worked down in your sacroiliac joint?
I don't think so. I'm going for an MRI today. Will that show?
Let's see. No, that will not show. Uh-oh. But what will show is that it will show that the spine itself is tweaked. I'm not sure that we don't have a bulging disc. There's so much inflammation. I can't really, you know, the color red kind of stops me. But it feels as I kind of go in and actually try to touch the spine itself, it feels like there was enough of a twist of what happened at the top and twist the opposite direction at the bottom that I may have a little bit of bulging disc in that area. That may be why you're having the discomfort that you are. And that will just take, again, some time to heal, hon.
Can I ask you another question?
Yes, absolutely.
Would it be helpful to have an adjustment? Or I'm not sure, like, that what you told me at the top, the mat.
Yes. What you want to do is, if you're going for your MRI, don't do anything. Just let your spine be where it is today.
Okay.
And then allow the MRI to be able to see the positioning of the vertebrae. In the neck area, there's a slight twist in the vertebrae. There's a little, and in that twist, it isn't out of alignment. It isn't a major out of alignment, like a major S, but there is a little out of alignment there. Once you get your MRI, then what you do is go back to the chiropractor, and not to negate what the chiropractor does, feels very, very skilled. The electrical process that you're being put through is to stimulate the nerves, to remove the toxin, to remove their hold on the spine. There's a tremendous thing. There's two fears that I have, honey. The first fear is down in the lower, and that's the fear around your survival. This was enough of a jolt to you that it really kind of put your mortality in your face. And then in the neck area, there's the thoughts that keep coming back, reoccurring. You could have died. Now, it doesn't feel like it was that traumatic, but your body doesn't know it.
Yeah, I have 3 impacts.
Yeah, and your body just doesn't know that, you know, that this is, that you, you know, that what you have is still, you know, are you still going to be, you know, is your mortality still in jeopardy? So those are the two fears that are in, the fear around your survival and the fear around dying. That's what happened in the accident. Those are the emotional memories that are still in those muscles. And what the electrical stuff is doing is the stimulation is trying to remove those muscles to relax them in the toxins. But myofascial can help you with the emotional part of it. So the adjustment after you have your MRI would be a good idea. My sense is that they may see that there's a compression in the spine, in the lumbar part of the spine, really kind of where the SI joint comes in, that sacroiliac sacral part and lumbar come together. And it just feels like it's just like something took your spine and just squeezed it. and whether that was the jar that you got pushed down into your seat, whether your bottom went forward and your back went to the back seat, there's something that's there. And again, my sense is it's just going to take time to be able to allow that to heal to go from there. I'm not picking up that the disc got actually herniated, but it's a pretty good sized bubble that I can pick up energetically. So that will be able to show up. And what you can do also with the MRI, be sure that they send the MRI films to your chiropractor. Who ordered the films?
My orthopedic doctor.
Okay, good. You want to be sure that as long as you're working with your chiropractor, it feels like a he. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay, that he gets those x-rays. So he knows exactly where your spine is. He will look at those x-rays a little bit differently than an orthopedic guy will. And then what he'll do is he'll be able to adjust you according to that x-ray.
Well, my doctor is going to be sending me for physical therapy, so I'm going to stop chiropractic care.
Yep, very good.
Or do you think I should just go back for adjustments to the chiropractor or...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I would use the best of all of it. Get your MRI, know what's going on. That's going to put a lot of your mind at ease, because in the discomfort, your mind is thinking, oh my gosh, am I going to turn wrong? Am I going to be able to walk? So we have a lot of angst around it.
Yeah.
Then when you go in with the physical therapy, then they will be able to teach you how to recondition your muscles and how to build your core strength. Continue your chiropractic to the point where the chiropractor has the x-rays. They're able to work with he's able to work with them, and then he'll be able to adjust you accordingly. My sense is once you do physical therapy, the need for chiropractic will diminish to some point. But my sense is that you're going to continue to need the chiropractic in order to just be sure that that spine stays where it needs to until everything fully heals.
And should I wait till I get the results to have the adjustment?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-oh. I know people that have back pain, and I was always so fortunate to never have it. And I see the pain they went through, so I just, I don't want to have any permanent problems.
No.
Oh,
and you
goodness.
Know what? It teaches us tremendous compassion for people who hurt their body, doesn't it? So anyway, but no, my sense is, sweetie, is what you're working with is going to work itself out. You just to build that core back up. You just got hurt. Okay, how about a real quick question about your boyfriend, and then I'm going to try to get one more call in.
My boyfriend, about 2 months ago, he started having this buzzing in his ears. So he went to a doctor, and they told him that he has tinnitus. He's a sound engineer, so he's very concerned because that's his passion and his livelihood.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know if acupuncture or acupressure works.
Yes, acupuncture would be very good, and then also cranial sacral therapy would be very good. The tinnitus that he has feels like it's more of a fatigue or an inflammation of his immune system. The immune system feels tired. Has he been tired lately?
Well, I don't know. He does a lot. He's very, very active, so he's always doing a lot throughout the day.
Yeah.
So, but he has a lot of energy, so it's hard to tell. But he wanted me to tell you that at 5 kilohertz and above, it becomes a problem, and then at 8, it gradually gets worse.
Okay. Oh, that's very good. Tell him thank you. That's very, very helpful. Okay. So what I would do, because it feels like the fact that it came on as abruptly as it did, we've got some kind of mild inflammation or a mild infection in his body, not to the point where he needs antibiotics, but it would be worthwhile if he would spend some time trying to either rest or build his immune system or maybe take some immune system support. If he works with an acupuncture, have him ask the acupuncturist for immune system support and some adrenal support. I think both of those things will help him. My sense is that what he has, and I can pick it up in the right ear. I can pick it up in left ear. For some reason, right ear feels a little bit more constrained to me as far as the sound that it's able to absorb. And I can actually pick up like this little pressure differentiation, like a little mild infection in the sinus on the right side and stuff, and that may very well be what we have going on. It doesn't feel like it's permanent something that he's going to have to deal with, but if he, you know, it's kind of like he needs to deal with it now and get this under control. So go to an acupuncturist, do that, and then craniosacral might be able to help him also.
Oh, and then how do you find a craniosacral specialist?
Oh, you can go in. There's many of them, but the best way is to go to Upledger, U-P-L-E-D-G-E-R. John Upledger is the gentleman. Upledger.com, and then put in your zip code or the city you live in, and then they will give you a listing of all the different craniosacral practitioners that are active in your area. You might also go in and ask your chiropractor. A lot of times they're familiar with what's going on.
Oh, okay.
So good. And then also the physical therapist may, we're not real sure. Just to put it out there to the universe. That's how it'll help. Thanks very much for calling
me. Oh, thank you so much, Carol. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Bye.
My pleasure. Hi, let's try Margie from Tennessee, line 3. Margie, my love, I have got probably about 2 minutes. Can we try and start this quick?
Hi, Carol. Thank you. Sure. About 6 months ago, they found a synovial cyst on my nerve root in my back on S1 and L5.
Okay.
And it's excruciating pain. They said all they could do was surgery, but then it would come back, and eventually I have 2 more surgeries, and then it would probably still hurt. What can you tell me? I was hoping I could get rid of it some other way.
Yeah. So let's go in. Boy, it's just like a whole laundry list of things came up on that. Go ahead, sweetie.
No, that's okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. So let's go. Let me go in and choose from the different things that I came in. The cyst itself is gelatinous in nature. It's turning into a ganglion. What I would encourage you to do is Google cyst and see what can be done. You can go to WebMD, see what can be done with cyst. They have some alternative things usually on that website. The other thing that you can do is go in and work with your immune system to see how we can strengthen that. That will help with the cyst itself. The cyst is actually feels like it's a formation of an infection that that attacked the nerve endings itself. It's the cyst is more of an inflammation than it is anything else. So let's go in and see what we can find out about cyst in general. What are the different things that can be that are effective with them? What you might want to do is to talk to an acupuncturist. You might want to find an integrative medicine doctor. You might also want to go in and find a naturopath. They may be able to help you in looking at the cyst itself. The concern the doctor has is the fact that it's turning into ganglion, and what that means is it's becoming a hard cyst versus a gelatinous or a fluid-filled cyst. And that's why they're suggesting that you go in and that you have surgery. But I would look at some other ways to see, because it isn't ganglion yet. It doesn't mean that it's hard and that it won't be something that can't be removed surgically. My sense is that why it caused right there is you've got a bone spur. I can find a little tiny bone spur. And when this infection kind of attacked your central nervous system, it went in and it found a weak spot. And that weak spot happened to be this bone spur. So this has been an area of your back that has been really weakened for a long period of time. And so let's try that and see if those things can work. And, you know, and then if it does, then you can prevent the surgery part of it. Really, honey, I would encourage you to go in and to continue to persevere in finding other ways to do it, because the cyst itself, with what caused it to happen, if you don't get in and get the inflammation and this infection somehow under control, it is going to just continue to come back. And I think there's other ways to be able to work with it. Edgar Casey would have suggested that you go in and you put castor oil packs on that area, and you just pull the toxin all around the soft connective tissue of that cyst, and that you will eventually pull the fluid or the infection out of the cyst itself. That's something that you might also want to do. Go on to ARE, Association of Research and Enlightenment, and see if you can access any of Edgar Cayce's readings on how to deal with cysts. He had several readings on that, and that can give you a different approach to look at. I can tell you very quickly that the emotion that is in the cyst itself is tied to someone else, and it's anger.
Anger?
Anger. And if you can find that person that you're really, truly angry about with, that you're holding inside, and find a way to release that anger without having to go into confrontation, maybe just wrap that anger up in this beautiful healing bag and send it out to the universe. But somewhere along the line, honey, that anger is in the center of that bubble.
So, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Again, just a laundry list, but I think that's a good place for you to start. Thanks very much, Margie. You're great. Thank you. Got to do it within the time frame.
I know. You're awesome. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me today. It's been a lot of fun to talk about personality. It's been a lot of fun to talk about how it relates to the connection to the soul itself and to why we do the things we do. Please join me next Wednesday, and I'll see you on the radio. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to the Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.